Okay. All right, let me repeat myself. Everything we just said. No, just kidding. We won't do that. All right, so we're talking about strength through prayer, and that's, I think, a common idea. It's pretty simple. Folks that are sometimes in desperate need, they turn to prayer. And so it's a obvious correlation that people find strength, and there is strength in prayer. And so going back to the first question about what Jude ended up writing about to earnestly contend for the faith, the Christian life is likened to warfare. And it's not that it's likened to that. It's spiritual warfare, and it's not physical warfare. It's not something you can, for instance, you can't lift weights and be a better Christian. I have no idea. I've already moved it several times. So, I'm going to set it down here so it may fall down. All right. Yep. Now I'm tied to the pulpit here. All right, so the Christian life is, like I said, it is likened to warfare and spiritual warfare, and so it's not an instance where, like I said, you can get physically stronger and be a better Christian, or physically faster or more mobile or flexible, or shoot baskets better and be a better Christian. That doesn't those things may help the body a little bit, but they don't make you a better Christian, becoming stronger, building up muscles or any of that stuff. Because the warfare that a Christian fights is spiritual. It's of spiritual nature. And when anybody remember, here's another question. When anybody remember where in the New Testament that whole spiritual warfare and the armor of God is laid out? Ah, there you go. Good job, Renee. Ephesians 6. Yeah, I think Alan said it too. Ephesians 6. And so what Paul does is he catalogs things that really had been said in the Old Testament. For instance, the salvation as a helmet. That's one of them. That was talked about in Isaiah. Isaiah talks about salvation as a helmet. The gospel as good news on your feet, shoes. That was talked about in the book of Nahum. It's scattered throughout. The Lord is a shield, things like that. It's all through the Old Testament, but it's cataloged in Ephesians 6. And so that said, it's the warfare is spiritual, and Paul catalogs all that stuff in Ephesians 6. And the weapons are necessary, but then there's a mindset that also goes with being a soldier. There's a mindset that goes with it, and there's an attitude that goes with it, and that's discussed by Paul and Peter. And just battle requires a certain mentality, and all that said, you get to Jude, and he says, "Look, I needed to write to you that you would earnestly contend for the faith." So Jude sort of follows the track that's been laid out. He follows the same course. And the first thing he mentions to earnestly contend for the faith, I think he mentions three things here. I would say three. Some may divide it up into six things. But he talks about prayer and the Holy Ghost. He talks about keeping the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord. It's in verse, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's verse 21. And then he talks about delivering others or rescuing others, saving others. And so there's three things that I think are there, for sure three. Maybe a little bit more depending on how you read it. But three things, and we're going to deal with the first one. We'll just deal with the ones that says building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And prayer in the Holy Ghost. So that's very specific, prayer in the Holy Ghost. There are all sorts of types of prayer. I think every religion has some sort of prayer. There are prayers that are said to sometimes said to nature. There's prayers said to Mary. There are prayers that are read. You know, you just write them and you just read them. Some are prayer beads, and that's not unique necessarily to Roman Catholicism. Other religions have prayer beads. I was thinking about when, was it Nepal? In China or Nepal, which one? China or Nepal?
Both.
Both, okay. So when Jeff went over to China, there are these cylinders that have these prayers written on them. And folks would walk by and they would spin them, and that would be equal to saying a prayer to God. Like, just get that thing in motion, and once that thing is in motion, those words are going to whatever God you're talking to. So they just walk around, they spin these cylinders. And so, I mean, that stuff, all that said is those are prayers, but they're not prayers in the Holy Ghost. They're just people talking to nobody, people talking to themselves. There's no God that's hearing this stuff. But prayer in the Holy Ghost addresses a real God and really seeks the power of God, which we'll get into a second. But the Bible talks about vain repetitions, where folks just say the same thing over and over, and it's just repeated, and there's not even a thought to it. It's just over and over and over, vain repetition, the spinning cylinders. The prayers to saints is another one. People praying to saints, trying to get a hold of some dead person. And prayers to Mary, praying to, I mean, it's just all sorts of things. So prayer is not unique to Christianity, but praying to the Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, is. That's unique to Christianity. That's unique to the Bible. So that said, prayer in the Holy Ghost is specific. It's not just saying prayers. It's praying God's way to God and talking to God. And prayer is talking to God. And so that said, another thing about prayer, second thing is, so you got prayer in the Holy Ghost. He says, "Ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." One thing to think about this, prayer in the Holy Ghost and praying to the Lord, it invites the resources of God. And that's a pretty big deal. I mean, when you think, that's a big deal. To invite the resources of God to intervene, that's a big thing. So prayer invites the resources of God in heaven. In fact, several times in the Bible, the Lord says, "Ask of me, call on me, seek me." He says this is a good verse. Look in Isaiah chapter 45. This is cool. And he's asking to be directed in a certain way. That's pretty interesting that God would ask to be directed in a certain way. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 11. This is something here. Prayer invites the resources of Almighty God. "Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands." Watch this. "Concerning the work of my hands, command ye me." That's pretty interesting. Yeah, like the Lord is inviting, and he's talking to the nation of Israel, granted, but I mean that goes through to the New Testament. Jesus Christ says, "Ask of me and I'll give you," and things like that. But the Lord is inviting people to give him instruction, to tell me what it is that you want. Tell me what it is that you need. And so part of the reason is prayer is a big part of faith. It's and we'll discuss that in just a second. But Prayer is one of those things that invites the resources of Almighty God. It's one of those essential duties, you could say, of a Christian, and also probably one of the most neglected things. How many times have you sat down to pray, and you start to go through your list, or however you do it? Maybe you got a list, which is good. It helps you focus on things. But you start to pray, and as soon as you start to pray, your mind starts to think about 100 other things. I mean, you're Lord, I want to, oh, wait a minute, I got to go do that with the car. I need to go get the registration done. And then your mind just goes 100 different directions. And so it can be a very tedious task, and that's why it gets neglected, I think, a lot, because it just seems like it can seem so tedious, it can seem so tiring, it can seem boring, and it's just we're preoccupied with so many other things. And so when you think about it, maybe think about it as, you know what, when I pray, I am inviting the resources of God Almighty, the creator of the universe, to intervene in something in my life, or in someone else's life. That's a big deal. And maybe that'll erase some of the tediousness of it. And so it's essential, it's necessary. Prayer is, in inviting the resources of God, it means God is willing to sometimes change direction. God is willing to start something that he hadn't started before. I'll give you a good cross-reference to some of this. Look in 2 Kings chapter 20. Here's inviting some resources of God. 2 Kings chapter 20. And verse 1. Second Kings chapter 20 and verse 1. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him, said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And it's not bragging, he has done good stuff. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. All because of prayer. That was what changed the situation. I mean, Hezekiah would have died. That was what was going to happen. Isaiah goes and gives him the news that you're about to die, and get your house in order, get things in order. And Hezekiah, as it looks like, after Isaiah gives him the news, he starts to walk out of the palace, or out of the temple there, and leave. And as he gets into the courts, Hezekiah is in his room and he's praying. And he gets a hold of God, and God gets a hold of Isaiah as he's leaving, and Isaiah stops, and he has one of those moments, like, I need to go talk to Hezekiah again. And he goes back over there, and he tells Hezekiah, the Lord's heard your prayers, and he's going to give you 15 more years now. And so that was all a result of prayer. That wouldn't have happened. This idea that we are just carrying out the motions of something that's already written in stone somewhere is ridiculous. Prayer actually changes things. It actually changes things. It actually moves the hand of God. It actually gets God to start something, like I said, or stop something, or he will change direction based on prayer. And prayer just really has no substitutes in that sense. It just has no substitutes. Yep. Yeah, there would be no, if everything was already mapped out, you know, that's sort of the Calvinistic, fatalistic idea that you're just, you know, it was just going to happen. It was just going to happen this way. That's not true at all. And if it was just going to happen this way, prayer, like Mary Beth said, has no meaning at all. It's just a futile exercise where you just, I don't even know what the point of it would be. But the reality is the point of prayer is to get a hold of God, to talk to God, to commune, to have fellowship with the Lord, and sometimes get him to change his mind about something, which he does, which he does. You don't have to turn there, but this will lead us to the next point here. But there was a time in the Gospels, Matthew and Mark, maybe even Luke has it, but he talks about this certain spirit, the certain devil, and he says this kind only goes out by prayer and fasting. You don't get this thing out with medicines. You don't get this thing out with anything else. This thing comes out with prayer and fasting. That's how it leaves. And so it's a very specific thing, which leads us to this second point here, or third point, wherever we're at. There's no alternative to prayer. There's not another thing that you can do in lieu of prayer. It's like, I don't have a good prayer life, but I'm going to do this. Well, that doesn't take the place of prayer. It doesn't. What's lacking when prayer is lacking? Well, if prayer is strength, then strength is lacking. If prayer is lacking in someone's life, then strength is lacking. Here's a good thought on that. Luke 18, look in Luke 18. A little cross-reference there. The alternative to praying is fainting. Sometimes the alternative to praying is just fainting. It means you don't have the strength because you haven't sought out the strength. Luke 18, verse 1, says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." So that's the alternative. It's men ought to be praying instead of fainting. You understand? I mean, that's prayer is strength. And the alternative is, you just don't have strength to do what needs to be done. We'll read the parable here. It says, saying, verse 2, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" That leads into something else. But the point of that is God's not an unjust judge. And he was the repetition, the continual asking of this lady persuaded a judge who was unjust, who didn't really care about God or didn't really have any respect to persons, which is good. But he or she persuaded him just through her asking multiple times. She persuaded him. And the Lord's like, I'm not like him. I'm not like him. But the alternative to her was, if she doesn't get the judge to change this, then it's not going to get changed. And if you don't get a hold of God to get the strength you need, then you don't have the strength that you need. So he says men ought always to pray and not faint. So fainting is the opposite of praying, which leads us to this thought, really, that lack of prayer is it shows a lack of faith like really nothing else does. Like if you say, if we think that we rely on the Lord, you think I rely on the Lord, I rely on him for decisions, I rely on him for things in my life, help run the family, I seek out his counsel, things like that. And it's one thing to say those things, but if there's no prayer life, if there's no actual seeking of God's help, it's just sort of vain talk, ultimately. But it shows that you don't really, a lack of prayer shows that you don't really rely on God in anything. You don't really need his help. You're not really that interested in what he has to contribute or how he can guide and direct your life. So lack of prayer shows kind of a lack of faith like few other things do, really. You know, you think about it, a Christian life. It is not the big things, and I know I've said it before, but it is really not, I don't think, the big things that get folks, I guess in some ways, but ultimately the things that get people derailed are the basic, sort of the basics of Christian life. Prayer, Bible reading, that kind of stuff. And then lack of those things leads to other problems that become bigger problems. And so we fail in the basics. I remember this. There was this book. I think it was Bo Schembechler who wrote it. He was the coach, football coach at Michigan. He may have been other places, but Michigan was one of them for sure. And he was writing about, or he was recounting a loss that the team had. And he asked the guys. He said, "Why did we lose this game?" And he was going to illustrate a point. And after this game, he ended up redoing his whole program. But he said, "Why did we lose this game?" And they said, "Well, they ran this play, and they, you know, the quarterback went around, and you know, we didn't catch it, we didn't see him, and you know, all that stuff." And he was like, "No, that's not why." And then he says, "Well, why didn't we score this touchdown?" "Well, they had this defense, and they brought in the corners, and then, you know, all that kind of stuff." And it's like, no, that's not why. He said, "Why didn't we score this touchdown?" "Because we didn't block people. That's why we didn't score, because we didn't block." He said, why did they score a touchdown on this play?" "Well, they did this, and they did that." He's like, "No, it's because you didn't tackle." And it was so basic. It was just like the basic stuff. There was a breakdown at the fundamental level. Like, you made this thing so complicated, and it was just a breakdown at the fundamental level. And it's a great, I think, an illustration of a Christian life. It's like the things that get broken down are so basic, but that leads to other problems. That leads to other things. And prayer is one of those basic things that really there's no alternative to. Like, if you can't, on the football team, if you can't tackle, it doesn't matter what plays you run. If you can't block, it doesn't matter what you do. If your quarterback can't throw, if your quarterback can't read, I mean, it doesn't matter. If it's just basic stuff. So prayer is one of those basic things. Prayer makes a difference. I'll just give you all these as a list here. We'll go to this verse, and then I'll give you these as a list. Go to James chapter 5. This is a good, I love this one. James chapter 5 and verse 17. James 5:17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Simple little thing here at the end of James. James 5, 17 and 18. The idea is, in you go back to verse 16, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means it does something. It has value. It moves the hand of God. And then he gives the example of Elijah. Elias is Elijah. Somebody had that question last week, I think, about the names being different. But Elijah is Elias. That's the same man. And he prays that it doesn't rain for 3 years, and it doesn't. And the implication is, if he hadn't prayed that prayer, and it was judgment against the nation of Israel, but if he hadn't prayed, that wouldn't have happened. And then if he hadn't prayed for it to start raining, it wouldn't have started raining. So it's not like fatalism. It's not like this stuff is just going to happen. It's that prayer actually changes things. And it's interesting, Elijah has in his life 7 miraculous events recorded. One of them is here. He stops the rain by asking God. Number 2, he prays that the widow's oil and meal wouldn't run out, and it doesn't. He prays for the widow's son who had died, and the son comes back to life. He prays to restore the rain, and it comes back. That's after he calls down fire from Mount Carmel. He prays to the Lord and calls down fire on Mount Carmel, and you know the story there. He also prays when Ahaziah sends these troops to him, and they're trying to bring him back to the king. And so he prays, and he calls down fire and burns up these platoons of people, and until the third one. But that was incredible. And then he's also taken up in a chariot. That was number 7. But all of these events, you find over and over, Elijah really is a man of prayer. Like he is, you'll find him going to a cave. You'll find him sitting out on a cliff somewhere. And he bows himself 7 times out there. And he prays. And he gets God to send the rain. But he's a praying man. And it's mentioned specifically that he's a man subject to like passions as we are, meaning he was just a human being. He didn't have like this special, unique DNA that made him different than everybody. It was just like he's just a man who's subject to like passions. His difference is he really believed God. And he believed so much that he believed that if he prayed, that God would respond to it. And so the Bible says Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And why would you say that? To say that he's just a human being. And then it talks about prayer changing things. He asks that it wouldn't rain. That's the example James gives. He asks that it wouldn't rain, and it doesn't. And, of course, the implication is none of the weather would have done anything different if Elijah hadn't said anything, if Elijah hadn't prayed. So all that said, there's several, the point is prayer made the difference. Prayer is strength. Prayer is inviting the resources of God. Prayer is the thing that makes the difference. And really there is no substitute for prayer. Those things are all true. There's no substitute for it. And so when Jude talks about earnestly contending for the faith, and he says, build yourselves up, praying in the Holy Ghost, that is something to which there's not a substitute for that. That's how you get built up. That's where strength comes from. That's where you find the resources of God. That's where you get what you need. That's where you commune with the Lord. And so The examples, you know, when I read the Bible, I'll give you an overview, just a thought here. When I read through the Bible, it's like human history is primarily made up of man making his own decisions, interspersed with people periodically getting a hold of God and God intervening. It's not God directing all of human history. He does direct stuff with Israel, and he does raise up sometimes and put down nations as you know he sees fit. But largely human history is just mankind doing man stuff, and then every so often somebody gets a hold of God, and then God does something and intervenes and changes the course of history. Now you got to add in that Jesus Christ was playing and all that kind of thing. That's true. Prophesied Jesus Christ was going to die for the sins of the world. All that kind of thing is true. But human history is basically a lot of man just making his own decisions, doing his own thing. And every so often somebody gets a hold of God and then God intervenes. But that's not the norm. That's not what's always happening. That's pretty sparse throughout human history. And so you read things like in Acts where the folks that are praying in Acts 4 and the place is shaken, and then, I mean, they're just stirring things up, and there's preaching going on, people are getting saved. Peter gets thrown in jail, Peter gets prayed out of jail. I mean, it's incredible, but it's these periods of time and events where someone gets a hold of God, and the resources of the Almighty are put into human history. They're actually put into use into human history, and that's incredible, because through Jesus Christ, you have an open line to the Creator. You have an open line of communication to invite God into your life and to do things and to change things. I think of Acts 16. They're praying in the. It's Paul and Silas, and they're praying and they're singing songs, and then the jail opens up, and you got that whole episode with the Philippian jailer. There's several instances. It's like the Bible records so many instances where people get a hold of God, and then God intervenes, and he changes things. He moves in a certain direction. I think about Jonah and Nineveh and all the Ninevites, and they get on sackcloth and ashes, and they just beg God for mercy, and they turn from their wickedness, and the Lord pays attention to that. And it's just the Bible is a record of prayer. It's a record of men seeking out God and man's wickedness, but man seeking out God and God intervening and changing things and doing things. And so you find strength in prayer, and also I will say sometimes the answers in prayer are not always yes, and I'm going to fix this. And I think of Paul praying, and he thought, you know, I can't do ministry the way I need to do ministry with this thorn in my flesh. And so he begs God to remove the thorn, and he begs God to remove the thorn, and he begs God to remove the thorn. And Lord, the answer, anybody remember the answer? The answer is no. Yeah, I'm not going to remove it. My grace is sufficient. And so that's the strength. That was the strength. The answer is no, and here's the strength you need. Here's the piece of information that you need to understand to give you the strength that you need. Yeah, he asked if there's another way to do this. And of course, the answer was no, there's not. But strength through prayer, it invites the resources of God. There's not really an alternative. I guess the alternative would be fainting, losing strength. Prayer makes the difference. It is just a fundamental fundamental thing in the Christian life, the prayer life. You think about it this way, I know you know this, but prayer is like you talking to God, and then the words of God, this is God talking back to you now. The Bible is God talking back to you. And so there's that communication there. So, and being around church people and God's folks and things like that, that's all part of it. But anyhow, that's prayer. That's some things on prayer. There's a lot of aspects to it, but those are a few things that specifically deal with building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So hope that's helpful. We'll be dismissed and we'll get out of here. Father, I pray it's been helpful. I thank you for these words. I thank you for this time together. I pray that you would guide and direct us, help us with our prayer lives, and that's just like the things that we neglect are the basic things, and that leads to other issues. So I pray that you'd strengthen us. I pray we'd be encouraged by this. Just thinking about prayer and inviting the resources of you is incredible. And so I thank you for this time together. Thank you for the teachers in the back that are teaching, and pray you'd help them with their classes. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.